following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Show. We're 1 week away from officially being turkeys, and I can't wait to love a little bit of turkey. But today, we're going to have chicken, and that's what we're going to have here at Bandit Sports Bar and Grill in Grand Island. Glad to have you back with us on this Thursday. Chicken nachos and a soda is their lunch special today for $5.99. Come in, see Tim and the gang here, because it is a holiday tonight. That's right, the Evan Scott Trio is here. They've got Bud Special starting at 7:30. The band starts at 9 o'clock. It's a fun Thursday night. Maybe we'll get a little bit of the sun to melt some of the ice from around the state of Nebraska, and we'll be out and going as we get ready for Huskers in Minnesota on Saturday, the final home game of the regular season. We will talk with Tracy Clays, the associate head coach at Minnesota, at the bottom of the hour here on the Doug and Daddy Show, their defensive coordinator. He has been with Jerry Kill from the Emporia State days to where he has been between there and here at Minnesota. And a scary game coming in. I know Nebraska fans are scared because of what happened last Saturday, because of how Minnesota has looked recently, and for what Minnesota did last year up in Minneapolis rolling the Huskers. So he will be joining us. We'll talk with Luke Hoover. It is Thursday, RotoWire, fantasy football, last week of bye weeks. A lot of leagues are putting their trade deadline this week, and so maybe that last chance to upgrade your team for the home stretch and possibly the playoffs. And in just a few minutes, we'll talk with UNK volleyball coach Rick Squires. The Lopers are getting ready for the NCAA tournament up in Duluth, Minnesota, where they will take on Southwest Minnesota State. That's all coming up on the program today as we're live here at Bandits. Hope you'll stop by and join us today or anytime. Open 7 days a week here at Bandits with great specials. We'll talk more about that. But right now, from Fodder Park, Steve Anderson slides in. He is our GI Bandits co-host. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You're talking turkey. You're talking chicken. Now you got to talk with the biggest boob that Third City has to offer. But I graciously accept your offer. And sliding into position probably is an understatement, but at any rate, it's starting to warm up outside, and I'd be remiss if I didn't tip my hat to you, Doug. I'm glad that you not only made that trip to Hemmingford earlier in the week, but you survived it. It brought back a whole lot of memories of mine. You know, I started my broadcasting career in 1975 out in Sydney, and it was part of my job to cover and do the play-by-play for the Legion Junior and Midget baseball team. So I wasn't out there a couple of days. I'm already on a bus heading up to Fort Robinson, where we stayed overnight for a big a big rivalry game the next day against Crawford. Now, my idea, and I still adhere to it to this day, my idea of roughing it is not having room service in a 3.5-star hotel or better, all right? We're living in army barracks out there. And when we get to the game where it was to be played the next day at Crawford, there was no baseball park. There was a bull ring, an absolute bull ring with bases inside of the picket fence, whatever you want to call that ring, no backstop. And the closest telephone pole was at the end of the section of land, which I might be embellishing every so slightly now, because this is 1970. We're talking almost, 40 years? At any rate.
I didn't want to throw that out.
They put in a line for me. You know, we used to pack along the telephone to do the games in those days. And the telephone pole was easily 200 yards away from where the right fielder took his position, which was behind the fence, by the way. The bull ring, anything that was within the first and third base foul lines was good to go, okay? That ball could roll forever if they hadn't plowed the corn, as I recall that time. They just put it in, actually. So I look up the pole, and the line, the telephone line, is about 15 feet up that pole. There's no press box. Boy, you had easy living up there in Hemmingford the other day. I mean, they pulled in. You got to get on Facebook. How do they find this picture? It's a classic.
I guess I don't think we put it on the Doug and Daddy page. Jeff, our producer back there. Jeff, have we put that on the Doug and Daddy page?
It looks kind of like the Pope Mobile that I remember when they brought it
to
Denver. The
1950s Pope Mobile.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can get that on there. But here's what I'll say about it. I'm so thankful that we had it. Us and the crew from Lexington were able to jam four people in there. And, you know, I know how it is. This hasn't happened in a while, but let's remember, Hemmingford hasn't hosted a whole lot of top-notch sporting events like this. And they don't have to worry about the visitor too much, but they took care of us as best they could. And very thankful. It was challenging, but I think it would have been more challenging had you had somebody fresh out of college and, like you said, set them out there. There's no yard lines marked. It's hard to see around the players, but we did the best we could. We just wish we could have brought home Elm Creek a victory because they were so, so close.
You know, let me quickly finish my Crawford, Nebraska story. Bill Wilburn was the coach of the midget baseball team then. Bill won a couple of state volleyball titles at Sydney High School. He had some terrific girl players. Was in charge of the special ed program at the high school. Very special man and very creative. He found a couple of 50-barrel, what looked to me like, if it wasn't a misplaced garbage can, they were at least burning stuff in there. He had the sense of flipping these barrels over, hauled him in the back of a pickup down to the telephone pole, stacked the two of them on top of each other. Then they had me crawl up on top of the cab of the pickup, stand on the barrel, balance. I could just barely reach that phone connection and got it plugged in. And from 200 yards away, could have been 300, but I don't think my eyes were that good.
All radio guys that have been around for a while can identify
with that.
I'm not even saying sympathizing. Identify is the word to use here. But word is, I've already received information is that you were on that day questioning balls and strikes.
Well, you know, I was a young Cub reporter then, and Tom Osborne, if he still remembers me, will vouch for this. I got pretty bold with the mouth back in those days, trying to, you know, establish my territory and gain a little credibility. And I gained too much because guys like Randy York and Virgil Parker, who were writing for the Lincoln Star in those days, started picking up on some of my wise guy quotes, especially on the Big 8 Skyriders tour. And as much as Osborne may have said he didn't read the newspapers, he certainly was aware of where I was coming from. You know, we were desperate to repeat what Bob Devaney had done in 70 and 71. We wanted another national championship. And no longer am I jumping off the bandwagon anymore. Bull Pelini, he may need new assistance down there to try to get us over the hump. But, you know, Tom, he always put us in a position to win a lot of national championships, just couldn't get the job done forever and a day. And since he was a Hastings boy and I was a Grand Island boy, he certainly took offense to a few things that I did. And regretfully, I'm sure that he's not only forgotten about him, he wouldn't have a clue if I walked in front of him if we ran into each other right now.
He's probably got your picture, and that's it, with, you know, like a little Steve Anderson
voodoo
doll.
Yeah, from 1981. Yeah, which I looked like I was about 14, by the way, which also was a detriment once I got into the TV side of things. But that's another story, Doug, for another day.
Well, we will get, you know, again, if our show was 4 hours, we could really get after some of these things out there because they are fun to rehash from time to time. Doug Duda, Steve Anderson with you here at Bandits. A lot going on. Hope you can stop by and join us for a little lunch today. Of course, as we told you, the chicken nachos are the lunch special today with a soda, only $5.99. The Husker game, Saturday morning, they'll be open early. Smoked pork loin sandwiches will be served for the game as Nebraska takes on Minnesota. And again, we've got a variety of other topics that I want to get to. But, Steve, as you said, you're not going to run in front of a bus after Saturday's loss. We talked about it because of the football game Monday. I was out, so Tuesday went on a rant, which folks have got some feedback, a lot of feedback on it. I know I'm just people saying, You know, and I know that line is split. I don't think it matters if you're from Kearney, Hastings, Grand Island, Caro, Loup City, Alma. I think you've got the same fan base in all communities. I don't know if it gets a little – if you get to the West where guys haven't been to Husker football games in 30 years because it's a long trip and so on and so forth, maybe they're even a little more amped up. But are you getting – and this is what I've feared over the last few years – are you starting to see apathy set in? Because I think it will absolutely set in if Nebraska stumbles down the stretch here. People will they'll go to the spring game, but we are already hesitant all year long, I felt, that everybody go, well, Nebraska's due to stub their toe. Nebraska's due to stub their toe. They do it every single year, and they haven't done it to a – they haven't been upset. They haven't done it to a team that they've been favored to beat. But are you sensing that at all?
I really am not at this point. I've been around the block too long and seen too many terrible situations. And you don't have to go back very long to bring up Steve Peterson and Bill Callahan. And that was when we hit rock bottom. So, you know, maybe if we lose the last two games, I may feel a little different. We certainly are in a precarious position, and nothing would surprise me at this point that we could get the job done and win both, but we certainly could lose both. Pelini's team seemed to snap back when you least expect it, so I look for them to make a miraculous turnaround. I have watched this Wisconsin game twice after I watched it live, and it's just incredible to see how great this team started out for a quarter and a half, and they don't give this Gordon enough due. He did all the damage in a quarter and a half. You know, how this team could just absolutely disappear is incredible. But I'm not on, and I used to be on the jumped off the bandwagon to get rid of Pelini because I didn't like the attitude, his persona that he portrayed in front of the cameras and the microphones primarily. But he has done a 180 in my mind since that Iowa game a year ago. I see that as part of maturity. I see that as a guy who's listening to other people now. Maybe it's I-Corps, and maybe it's Tom Osborne. Maybe he's in a better capacity now to talk to Bo than he was when he actually was the guy in control. I don't know. You know, the brains of that Pelini operation, they tell me, is hanging his hat in Lincoln once again, and that's Brother Carl. He's a man maybe of some scrupulous traits, but they need to bring somebody, either Carl back to get his hands on that defense, or maybe a Will Muschamp, and pay the money.
Ugh.
Pay the money it's going to take to get a high-profile kind of a guy. Because, you know, the defense concerns me more than the offense. The fact that they just absolutely disappeared is incredible to me. It looks like the talent is there. But, boy, when you can't line up in the right spot and everybody in the world knows what the next play is going to be coming at you and you can't stop it, something is terribly out of whack.
Yeah, and
I think Bellini can fix it.
And folks, fire in. We'd love to hear from you. The Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com when it comes to Husker football, or if you've got fantasy football questions for Luke Hoover today, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Twitter address is at ESPN1460-1550, or you can Facebook us at ESPN Superstation. We are here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth live from Bandits in Grand Island. We invite you to join us today or anytime to watch your favorite sporting events. And at Midway, thinkmidway.com or South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. We want to remind you to hurry in and get the $500 Black Friday bonus cash. The offer ends December 1st, so act fast. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram has full details on this amazing offer, and you can see their full Dodge lineup as well as their Jeep, as well as their Ram, as well as their Chrysler, all of the great vehicles online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Be serving it up in the first round of the NCAA tournament against Southwest Minnesota, and both teams ranked fourth in the coaches' poll, tied in the points, but that doesn't matter because as you look at what's going on in the regional, it's the same as we've been talking about for years. Coach Rick Squires giving us a few minutes here before the match, and I guess quite a bit to talk about. First off, Coach, from last week, you got the two wins over the weekend, your co-conference champions, and some momentum going into the tournament.
Well, no question. It could not have turned out any better than it did when we were faced with four road matches, and all of them really looking pretty difficult at the beginning of that stretch. To imagine that we would get four wins going into that part of the season, seemed a little far-fetched at the time. I mean, I think you would have had to have been satisfied with three and feeling like you would have got into the tournament, but credit our kids for taking them one at a time, and as the momentum kind of built there, they played a little bit better with each one, and then on Saturday against Washburn really put a heck of a match together and put us in the spot we're in right now, co-champions of the MIAA and back in the NCAA tournament.
The all-conference team was also announced, and as expected, you would be well represented, but with this conference and being as top-heavy as it is, there's a lot of great volleyball players. Were you pleased with some of those announcements, including Liz McGowan, who broke the digs record for you over the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think Liz has been our leader basically all season, but in particular, probably the last three or four weeks of the season. It seems like it's hard to believe, but she had even another gear. And she went to that, and I think our confidence grew as she continued to play better. And so we figured that she would be somebody who appeared on the first team. And then after that, with our group, it's been really balanced. And so I really wasn't sure. I mean, and so to see Erin Seeley on the first team probably makes sense when you look at the fact that we have had, different people lead us in kills and, people coming off the bench. And the way we've had to do things offensively would probably warrant that she get some consideration. And then, after that, the other names on there seem to make sense to me, too. Bailey Sokolowski kind of taking a step forward after her freshman year. Kelly Carver, who really came in and sparked us early and is still somebody that our opponents have to pay attention to. And so, I thought that a lot of that seemed to make sense. And there are a lot of good players in the MIAA, but we were one of the teams that probably did it in a little more balanced approach as opposed to having, one star player or a couple of clear-cut attackers who were going to put up the kind of numbers that maybe, jump out at people on a page, as far as the selection for those kind of things go.
Talking with Lilbert Volleyball Coach Rick Squires here on the Doug and Daddy Show, getting ready to take on Southwest Minnesota. Coach, you mentioned a couple of times throughout the season and in some other interviews leading up to this, you're not a senior-laden ball club. Are you more worried about how the kids are going to react or the opponent that you're facing? And then tell us a little bit about your opponent.
Well, I think our kids will react fine. I'm probably just more worried about the talent level on the other side of the net. I mean, I think we'll play close to whatever our ability level is. I mean, it seems like we've had a group this year that has never really let the moment get the best of them. I mean, we've been in a lot of scrapes and a lot of tough spots where it looked like we might not win a match, and somehow we scratched and clawed and found our way back into the darn thing. So I think we'll handle it well. Probably the bigger issue and the bigger challenge is just that Southwest Minnesota is awfully talented. I mean, we're used to maybe being a little shorthanded on firepower, and we kind of do it a little bit differently with great defense and balance and things like that. And that'll probably still be the case with Southwest. I mean, they've got two or three hitters that really grab your attention. But they are a little bit like us in that they're a very young team. I mean, their leading hitter this year is a freshman. I believe they've got a freshman center, maybe a freshman middle blocker. And so it's not a real veteran team on the other side of the net either. So you kind of think maybe if you could get some momentum that sometimes that will snowball for you when the two young teams are playing. But there's no question. They can come at you from everywhere. They've got good size. They're good defensively. They play in a premier conference. And, you know, one thing about them, too, that maybe a lot of people don't know is they had a maybe their best attacker go down, who's a right-side hitter, late in the year. And so I do not think she's going to play. So I believe their second leading hitter. Now they've got somebody over there who's more than capable. But I think if we play extremely well, you know, hopefully we'll have opportunities to move on to the next round. But that there will not be a lot of margin for error, that's for sure.
Well, that's Abby Thissen, over 1,000 career kills, a .301 hitting percentage that missed out as they were knocked off in the semifinals of the Northern Sun. Rick, with five, we always know that it's the toughest region. I didn't think it could get much tougher. I guess if you throw Tampa out, that's the way it could be. But five of the top six teams in the coaches' rankings are in this region, including an improved Wayne State team who has been in that 18 range a lot at this time of the year. Is this region even tougher than it's been in the past?
You know, it's hard to say if it's tougher, but it's every bit as tough. You know, for a few years now, and fortunately, I've been around long enough that we've appeared in a few Elite Eights. And this regional tournament now feels like an Elite Eight. I mean, when you get in, you're thrilled to be in because you know how hard it is to get here. And then when you're in, you know that you're going to be playing top five, top ten teams in every round. Like maybe it used to be in the Elite Eight. Of course, it's hard to do that now in the Elite Eight when you eliminate four or five of them in the Central Region. But that's kind of the feel of the tournament. Is these are a handful of the premier volleyball programs in Division II. And, you know, if you're a fan or you're somebody close by and just to come and watch some of this stuff, it's unbelievable volleyball. And whoever comes out of this thing will have earned it, as evidenced by the fact that Concordia has won seven in a row. And they've had a few tussles in this tournament, but, yeah, so far nobody's been able to knock them off. And looks like maybe they're not even the favorite this year. So when the seven-time national champion is not the favorite in your region, I'm not sure that's a good thing.
Well, Rick Squires, we'll wrap it up with this. From what you know about the rest of the field, who is the best team in this region? We'll just throw you out so you don't have to say your own team, even if you wanted to, which I don't think you would. But is it Minnesota Duluth? Is it Concordia St. Paul? Is it somebody else? Obviously, Central Missouri is the one that's giving you problems. But on paper, who do you think going into today is the best team?
I think you got to say Duluth. I mean, and I've seen most of them at least a little bit, either on video or in person, and Duluth right now is the most complete team, and they do have some veterans, and they don't have weaknesses that you can exploit necessarily. I mean, they're big and physical, but they also ball control, and they block and play defense. They're at home. And so it's going to be quite a task for somebody to knock them off. But we'd sure love a crack at them, which would mean that, you know, we had made it to the finals. So, I would say coming into this thing, you know, at least in my opinion, it'd be them, but it's also hard to count out the 7-time defending national champs. So I'm sure they'll have something to say, too.
He is the head volleyball coach at UNK. We better let him get out to the court as they get ready for their match against Southwest Minnesota starting here at noon. Rick, as always, best of luck. And let's, if you're going to make that long of a drive, you just will stay a couple days.
That sounds like a plan.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Rick Squires, UNK Volleyball. They get things started here just after noon. We appreciate him giving us some time here before the match gets underway with Southwest Minnesota State. Folks, you've heard the rant before. I'm not going into it. All I'm saying is that there are 8 teams in the Central Regional, 5 of the top 6 teams in the Division II national rankings to end the season are playing in this regional. 7 of the 8 teams in the regional are in the nation's top 25. You do the math. There you go. Got that one for you. So we'll see if the Lopers can squeak one out. I mean, it doesn't matter. And when it comes to history on things like that, Steve Anderson, all the teams that had to play the Sandy Creek girls like Sutton quite a bit before the wild card, and pick your sport. You may have been the second or third best around, but you are not going to get your names in the annals of history because you were in the same region as the best team. And that's, in some cases, very unfortunate. There are many dynasties out there that don't have a whole lot to show for it, and UNK Volleyball is one of those.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this Tampa team that they're playing. Is this Tampa, Florida?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I know that South Alabama is, or South Florida is in Tampa. Central Florida is closer over by Orlando, but I'm not familiar with this school at all, but... Yeah, timing and location is all about sports especially, and dynasties. I really can't add anything to what you say. I've always been a guy that's been in the wrong place at the wrong time my entire life until Fonner Park came knocking on my door at age 50, and I feel blessed by that.
Yeah.
But how many guys... would still be in Grand Island, Nebraska when that call came out. And I'm very fortunate in that regard, but, oh, man, I would have given anything to be the next Harry Carey somewhere down the line. In fact, I used that line a number of times when I was being interviewed for possible upgrades in employment, and I think it diminished my chances, actually.
You said, I got most of it down. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, live from Bandits in Grand Island. Chicken Nachos, the special today. The Evan Scott Trio playing tonight on this Budweiser holiday at Bandits. There is no cover. It's Thursday night wing night, so come in, get your fill, get your food, and get your fun with the Evan Scott Trio. Tracy Clays, associate head coach at the University of Minnesota, talking Gopher football when we return.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With 2 locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, expect mostly sunny skies with high temperatures in the mid-30s. We'll have our winds turning to the east. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 20. Highs in the low 40s for Friday. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro. Currently 28.
And welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live from Bandits in Grand Island. Stop by tonight. They've got the Evan Scott Trio banging it out. We've got chicken nachos and a soda for $5.99, our lunch special. They've been giving away money here as well. A $64,000 Keno winner just last month. And we invite you in. You just never know when it's going to be your time. And we will be here until a little afternoon. And, of course, they're open 7 days a week to take care of you. But right now, we head up to the University of Minnesota, where they are getting ready to head to Lincoln for a Big Ten West showdown with the Huskers on Saturday, and we are pleased to catch up once again with the associate head coach of the Golden Gophers, Tracy Clays. I'll tell you what, the fun thing about talking with Minnesota, everybody loves Coach Kill, and like we joke now, fewer people love him when they start beating you, but he's a Midwestern boy. Most of the staff is Midwestern. Coach Clays played at Kansas State. He's from Clay Center, Kansas, a population just over 4,300. And Tracy, great to have you back on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks for the time so much. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. Thanks for having me. I enjoy it.
Well, it's great to have you. And has the mood when Minnesota rolls into the opponent's town changed here over the last couple of years? Now that you guys are really starting to, as Coach Kill told us at Media Days, we know and we're confident as a coaching staff that we can beat the Ohio States, the Nebraskas, the Michigans, the Michigan States. We have to get the kids over that hump. Are you starting to sense the opponents are feeling that from Minnesota?
Well, eventually, you know, you'll know because we won't play at so many places on homecoming, that's for sure. anytime you're a homecoming opponent all the time, it tells you, I think, what they think of you. So, you know, we've been able to play well on the road and compete. We let one get away from us, but you know, we're definitely making progress. We're not where we need to be, but we are making progress, and our kids are learning how to win.
Tracy, what did it mean to you personally to be promoted to associate head coach, as you have been Coach Kill's defensive coordinator since back in the 1999 days back at Emporia State?
Well, you know, it really, as far as the operation of things, it's how we've been doing things for a while. And it was just one of the situations after what happened a year ago that Coach felt that was an appropriate thing to do, to put it in print and make it official. So I'm very appreciative of his gesture. But at the same time, it really hasn't changed how we've been operating for probably the last 10 years now.
We're talking with Tracy Clays here on the Doug and Daddy Show, the associate head coach at Minnesota. Doug and Daddy on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda, Steve Anderson with you here from Bandits in Grand Island. And the good thing is we haven't had to go down the health road with Coach Kill this year. Was the silver lining for everybody involved is that it made everybody more mature and more strong, coaches, players, everybody around, to get through with Coach Kill and what he's had to go through?
Yeah, you know, I like, again, when he missed the Michigan game, I think that was a reality check for everyone involved, and you know, our players handled it great, you know, and I do think that's the turning point. We were able to win four games in a row there and to beat a couple of very good football teams, and it gave a group confidence, and so I do think that when all that went down, is that has been our turning point. And like I say, we got a little bit to go, and we have to learn how to compete at the highest level we can week in and week out. But
that all goes along with trying to build something back that hasn't had a lot of success recently.
Tracy, what do you credit the improvement on the defense that you have seen here over the last 3 years? Each year, statistically getting better, the team's winning more games. Is there one or two things that you can pinpoint?
It still comes down to you got to have athletes. And we've always put the premium on kids who could run and kids who have length because the game is played where everybody's spreading you out nowadays. And so you got to be able to play in space. And longer arms, the more length you have, better tacklers, more ground you can cover. And then, you know, before we got here, defense was never emphasized. So I think the kids finally, you know, where we emphasize defense and I think they have enjoyed that. But the biggest part is we've got very competitive kids, and we've definitely upgraded our athletic ability since we first got here.
Tracy Clay's associate head coach at Minnesota, chatting with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tracy, what do you see on tape, especially with Amir Abdullah not doing what he did the first half of the season over the last couple of games? Have you seen different tendencies from what Big Red's offense is trying to do?
Well, I think they're still trying to operate the same way, which they should. They've got a good offensive scheme. You know, injuries, that's the thing that is the biggest problem for all of us. When you lose your best players, it creates problems. And in the middle of the season, you just can't change everything you do. And if you don't have a premier player in that, then sometimes I think you don't know that you have any good players, you know. And he's such a difference. One of the best backs in the country, and it's going to affect anybody's offense. But I told you earlier, I think they're better up front in the offensive line than what they were, and they get things going and get him back. I look for him to get stronger and stronger each week coming off injury. That's what most people do, most good players do. So we're expecting their best on Saturday.
Coach, Steve Anderson here. You've also got one of the marquee running backs in the country. And I'm interested to hear your perspective on what you saw reviewing now the Nebraska-Wisconsin game a week ago, because you got to feel like the cat not only has caught the canary in this upcoming scenario, but about ready to eat him, because Gordon ran at will against the Blackshirt defense last Saturday, and you guys must be sitting on the doorstep thinking that lightning could strike twice in this upcoming match.
Well, you know, it's no secret that we base on offense that you have to be able to run the football and then throw it efficiently and take advantage of when too many people get in the box. And so, that's something we'll have to do. You know, as far as last week's game, the hardest thing in football today is you just don't know how kids are going to react and how they're going to respond each Saturday. They compare scores, you know, if things don't start out good or all of a sudden something bad, you just don't know how kids are going to react. And so, hopefully we come out of the gate and our kids are ready and prepared to get the best there on senior day. We were there the last time it was senior day and got their best. And so anything less, we're going to be in trouble. And at the same time, we not everybody's going to run the football like that kid did last week. A little bit of that just snowballs on you, but we do have to be able to run the football in order to be successful.
A couple minutes left here with Tracy Clay's associate head coach at Minnesota. I chuckle because the last couple of times we've talked to Coach Kill, he references that game and he goes, "Well, crime it, boys, we came out there and they brought Tom Osborne out of the tunnel. We knew we were screwed. What was going on?" You can tell Coach Kill we're trying to get Osborne to come out of the tunnel again on Saturday.
I was Coach, up in the box when that happened, so I'm hoping that it doesn't happen again.
And speaking of snowballs, Coach, you probably like to have a little bit of sub-zero temperatures with a foot of snow on the ground. I'm sorry to report, it looks like it's going to be in the mid-50s in Lincoln on Saturday.
Well, that's all right. Any day we can get in the 50s around here, we're going to take them, you know, this time of year. And, I'm still one that I believe, in a way I wish everybody played indoors this time of the year. And as far as you like to see the true talents of each team be able to play at their best. But at the same time, being a traditionalist, there's nothing like playing the upper Midwest this time of the year. That's why you have to be able to run the football. People in other parts of the country don't understand that. And I can tell you this, is that if we got to host a bowl game at our stadium and the University of Nebraska got to host a bowl game at their stadium every other year, bring those things up north, we'd win a lot more of those bowl games. So, we enjoy the weather, and I think it's a neat part of the tradition of football playing when it gets cold and you're outside.
Tracy, I just want to get your comment on a couple of more kids here. Again, on the offensive side of the ball, a lot has been made out of your outstanding tight end, Max Williams. We got burnt by the tight end in Nebraska last year in the matchup. And then you guys are so solid, as we've talked about, on defense, but your linebacker, Damian Wilson, obviously leads you in just about all categories. Could you give us just a brief comment on why these guys have been so exceptional so far this year?
Sure. You know, Max he catches everything. He's got great hands, and he can judge a ball so well, and a great concentration on the ball. So anytime you got a tight end who can catch the ball in traffic and run as well as he does, you're going to have one of the better players in the conference, which we believe he is. And then, you know, Damian is a kid who played well a year ago, just inconsistently. He's a junior college kid, and, so his second year he's got more comfortable in the system. And for somebody that weighs like he does, he weighs in the 240s and runs and plays in space. We feel like he's one of the best ones in the conference too. And we're going to have both of those guys perform well on Saturday in order to have a chance to win the football game.
I don't think we talked about this the last time that we chatted with you, Coach, and maybe I overlooked it, but I have to ask you, did you grin a few times with Bart Scott's a professional career? You got a chance to work with him back in the day.
Yeah. Bart's come a long ways. He was there when we first got to Southern Illinois, and great guy. He's always had a personality to him, and always enjoyed life. So I think the TV gig will do Bart good, and he definitely loves to entertain people. So he does make you smile, and it's a good thing for him. I mean, kids worked awfully hard to get to where he's gotten, and it's good to see those type of kids be successful.
Well, Tracy Clay is the associate head coach at Minnesota, the Golden Gophers, 11 a.m. on ESPN and the Breeze 94.5 on Saturday. We'll be making their way to Lincoln. And, Coach, it looks like you guys are going to be playing football after your birthday this year, which is on Christmas Day. Are you a thumbs up or thumbs down? My brother-in-law's birthday is on Christmas Day. Do you like it?
No. I mean, getting presents once a year, you know, everybody likes to get presents. And so, when you only get them once a year, you know, you're kind of getting cheated a little bit. So, I wouldn't recommend that for anyone.
Well, I know the Husker coaching staff would love to wrap up a few chunks of coal and send them back with you on Saturday. But this has turned out to be a really good rivalry between Minnesota and Nebraska. And appreciate you giving us some time on this busy day, Coach. We will see you in Lincoln Saturday.
All right. Thanks for having me. We look forward to getting there, and it should be a great game.
Coach, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye.
That's Tracy Clay's associate head coach at Minnesota. And again, I have worked with a variety of coaches. It's all about contacts, and he's worked with our buddy Bob Crocker up there at UNK. And, again, Emporia State, he grows up in a town of 4,300. He stays home, Kansas State. We talked about that relationship, I think, last season when we talked with the coach ahead of the game. But Southern Illinois, Northern Illinois, Minnesota, and Steve, I'm going to be honest with you. Why wouldn't you hire this staff? They are Urban Meyer-esque. They have won everywhere they've gone. Now, Urban's got that GQ look, and Jerry Kill will obviously joke about his bald head and everything that's going on there. But I don't know that his Midwest, and he's done good in the Midwest, and maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know that it would translate to Florida, who will be looking for a coach. But I'm telling you what, that's the next step for these guys. And you would think there's only one more step to take at this stage in their career for these guys. It's like Tim Miles being the basketball coach at Nebraska. If you can make them win, you probably aren't going to get to keep them very, very long. I mean, what Mike Krzyzewski did at Duke and then stayed there is a rare instance of a coach being a lifer at a place that was never winning. And you've got to feel, especially if these guys do the incredible and win their last two games here against Nebraska and Wisconsin on the road, and go to Indianapolis. I'm going to tell you what, I looked at tickets today. They're way down. from Omaha to Indianapolis over the championship weekend. I don't know why they're so much cheaper than they were about 3 weeks ago, but I think that would be a game to be at, maybe a possible Minnesota-Ohio State rematch.
It would be. You've heard of the Peter principle, haven't you? And that's what I always feared. I think you'd chase
that. I take
that.
A pill for that, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I already know the color if we're on the same wavelength. But at any rate, I always, when they dangle that carrot out at you, I always worry about at what point are you about ready to step over the line? And, you know, I can't answer that question about Jerry Kill and his staff and how far they should go. But I have gained all the respect in the world for what they've pulled off here at Minnesota in their short tenure. I'm sure that his health is of concern for any prospective employers, but you have to think that at some point he's either got it under control now or it will only continue to improve. You know, we're all only a heartbeat away of being in some kind of bad health, but at any rate, I've elevated this team to the standards I've been able to observe in respect of Northwestern. You know, the small kid on the block that just absolutely has two strikes against him in almost any encounter that they have as far as the competition is concerned, but aren't afraid to hit you in the mouth, get their pants dirty, get back up, hit you in the mouth again. And I watched that game last week very closely between Minnesota and Ohio State. And this team, trust me, you know Urban Meyer, he can go for the jugular early, and he thought he had a chance to make a statement and maybe pile up 5-6 touchdown lead early in that ball game. And the breaks of that game went the other way, and Minnesota stood toe-to-toe with him. And I think I could have not predicted how jubilant Urban Meyer was after that game, but I think he realized maybe for the first time since he's been at Ohio State, he really dodged a big-time bullet, and to get out with any kind of a win after it was all said and done now became a real feather in his hat. I'm really afraid about this Minnesota game coming up this Saturday. They're going to hit us right in the mouth. They've seen what we can and cannot do. How you turn it off and turn it on in the same game is undescribable. Can't define it or explain it. But they got us right where they want us, and it's in our own backyard. Never thought I'd say that.
Got an email here from Ryan on the Dent Popper inbox, talking Huskers. Ryan says, I have felt this way for a couple of years. The offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator at Nebraska need to be removed from the program. They are new to these jobs, and it has been obvious for some time. It's not the talent, it's not the strength and conditioning, and it's not the size of the O-line and linebackers, because if it was, they would put weight gainer in their shakes. The problem is in game adjustment, scheme, and mental confidence. There's not a single FCS or FBS team on the planet that would allow a single player to rush for 408 yards. We have an NFL D-line that is getting held short on their development. There are countless schools that would love to have just one of them. Tommy Armstrong is not good enough in the passing game to win tough games, says Ryan. We have several other quarterbacks that ride the bench year after year, and when they come in, the game has been decided, and all they do is hand the ball off. 9 wins is good, but this team is getting sold short year after year, and that is kind of the same sentiment in a variety, hitting on a variety of the same topics that we've been talking about all week long. We are here at Bandits in Grand Island. Stop by and enjoy the chicken nachos, the lunch special with the soda, just $5.99 on this Thursday. A little warm that you don't have to put the parka on to walk outside today. And, of course, we invite you to join us for Husker Saturday. Smoked pork loin sandwiches served for the Husker game. Open early Saturday for the 11 o'clock kickoff. When we come back, it's Luke Hoover of RotoWire answering your fantasy football questions. Send them in now. We'll be right back.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty is proud to support the Kearney Catholic High School Foundation through the Gold Dinner and Auction. The annual event is this Friday. We hope to see you there.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
It's third down and six, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. Five.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a free month of service. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies with the nation's largest fixed wireless network, Prairie iNet Internet delivers. Call and get a free month of internet just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call now. Call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
The annual Gateway Farm Expo, November 19th and 20th at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, is bigger than ever this year, with an additional building full of exhibitors ready to help your ag business succeed. Enjoy free lunches and entertainment, and register for a chance to win a new Polaris Sportsman 400. Sponsored by First National Bank, Pioneer, NTD, and KRVN. The 2014 Gateway Farm Expo in Kearney, coordinated by Kappa Co-op, November 19th and 20th.
It's the Gateway Farm Expo!
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service. From seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez, TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Protein Design.
Take a look at our Midtown Bar cooler question. Midtown Bar of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, how do you think Nebraska will finish out the regular season? Well, nobody went for the two losses. 78% said 1-1. 22% said 2-0 to get you to 10-2 on the season. So, again, Nebraska fan predicting 1-1. So you can't predict 1-1 and then gripe about that. I mean, maybe you can about the way it's played out. That's what's happening. How will the Huskers fare Saturday against Minnesota? It's our Thursday Midtown Mart cooler question the week before Husker games. Our consensus line is Nebraska minus 10. I will be very interested to see the results tomorrow. Will Nebraska win and cover? Will Nebraska win, but it'll be tight? Or is Nebraska going to lose outright? I already know there's a lot of Husker fans or people in Nebraska that are going to take the money line and give the 10 points and try and really rack up some coin. But what do you think, folks? Vote on the Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. How will the Huskers fare Saturday against Minnesota?
It's time for a fantasy football update with fantasy football expert Luke Hoover of RotoWire.com. Send in your fantasy football questions now and let Luke guide your fantasy team to a championship.
Time now for our fantasy football update with Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Our fantasy football report is brought to you by Cunningham's Journal in Kearney, your fantasy football headquarters. It's also the place to head for all the Husker football games with your friends, family, and your acquaintances. A wide variety of appetizers, sandwiches, pizza, wings, burgers, and the coldest draft beer in town. Free Wi-Fi to follow your fantasy football teams at Cunningham's in Kearney. Luke Hoover joins us. The final bye week, thank God, of this regular season. But, Luke, I look at my team, and I know a lot of people always have the same feeling. The team that I swear is better out of these two that I have to adjust in just kind of the regular scoring, one's PPR, one's not. You know, the one that I swear is better, they've lost three in a row. The other one's won three in a row. It makes you pull your hair out. But this is the time you got to hunker down and focus. We're getting into the holidays. We're talking money time now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, late in the season, you kind of have to remember that anything can happen. It's why I'm actually, you know, when my column comes up this week for evaluating the matchups, you see I talk about just never quitting in fantasy because you just don't know. You know, even if your team's not doing so hot, you know, you could even have a losing record. Now you get a hot streak, like you mentioned. You know, your bad team is playing well right now. Sometimes the breaks just roll that way. You could, find yourself maybe sneaking into the playoffs or making some noise late in the year.
Steve, is that the way you feel, or have you just said I don't have to worry about it anymore?
Oh, you don't want to get me started. I finally cut the ties with RG3, and now I'm back and forth with Andy Dalton and Joe Flacco. And last week, off of using, I might add, on Luke's advice 2 weeks ago, and seeing one of the most miserable quarterback performances of all time in that Cincinnati-Cleveland game. We picked up Ryan Mallett to use last week and benched Andy Dalton. I mean, I'm out of sync. And this has been going on not only this year, but for years.
We're gonna have to get ahead. We got to get Steve-O. Luke, we got to get Steve-O in August, and we've got to coach him up a little bit.
We can fix this. It's an easy one too, because this has been my method in every league I've ever played in fantasy. So many people want to wait a quarterback. You run into that problem constantly when you do it. Sometimes, you know, you think you got a good one. Andy Dalton threw 33 touchdowns last year. You think maybe he's taking that next step in his career. He's got all these weapons. You know, it just happens when you don't have an elite quarterback. You can find yourself playing roulette every week. And if you miss, you're going to win a lot more, or lose a lot more than you win, rather. I always go quarterback in the first probably three or four rounds of any league. You know, I feel like you just give yourself a significantly increased odds of winning the championship, or at least getting to that chance, getting into the playoffs. When week in and week out, you can trust your quarterback play out. You don't have to question it. You can roll out one of those guys like, you know, Breeze, Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck is at that level nowadays. You know, even a Tom Brady who had, you know, a bit of a down year last season.
Talking with Luke Hoover, fire off your fantasy football questions. We're going to dive into them here. You can tweet this at ESPN 1460 1550. And, of course, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. That pig Ben Roethlisberger is right there with Andy Dalton, too, since I've started him the last 2 weeks. Well, let's get to it. Mark says, standard flex league, Matthews, White, Ivory, Joik Bell.
Well, if it's Jordan Matthews, I'm upgrading him, and I definitely would start him. If we're talking Ryan Matthews, then I would lean towards Roddy White, you know, between the two of them, because Roddy's been playing good football of late, and it seems like Julio Jones is not targeted at all in the end zone. Roddy's getting those options, and he's scored a little bit lately. So if it's Jordan Matthews, he's first. If not, if that's Ryan, then definitely Roddy White.
Let's go to Eric. I just recently picked up Mercedes Lewis as Heath Miller has a bye. Your thoughts on Mercedes moving forward, replacing Miller the rest of the season?
Well, I haven't given much thought to Mercedes Lewis this season. You know, reason is obviously he's been out, he's been hurt. You know, should be coming back for Jacksonville. They had him on the short-term IR, but he was activated. You know, that offense is going to have to throw it a lot, you know, because Jacksonville's D is not slowing anybody down. It's hard to say, though, because we can't, you know, tell at this point if Blake Bortles will have any type of connection with Lewis. I would still lean towards Heath Miller for the rest of the year, you know, and frankly, there's probably a better waiver wire guy to plug in Miller's bye week, considering Lewis hasn't played, you know, and it might even be questionable, probably eased back in action, if at all. So I would look at the waiver wire, see what else is out there, but I like Miller a little more going forward.
George has a question here on the Dent Popper inbox, and coming off the bye week, the Cowboys, he says, which backup for DeMarco Murray is the best handcuffed option for the rest of the year?
That's an easy one. It's got to be Joseph Randle as a handcuff. You know, he's got limited touches this season so far, but he's averaging 6.9 yards per carry. And he's got good size, you know, and if Murray were to go down, they've got to turn it over to a featured back. He's the guy to do it, to be able to run between the tackles and have some success behind that great line.
Luke Hoover with us from RotoWire, rotowire.com. Let's get to a few more questions here as we head into this weekend. And let's see, what's the latest one we've got here? Let me pull up this page. Oh, well, there we go. An Isaiah Crowell question. Is he worth playing this week, obviously, with what's happened in Cleveland?
Absolutely. And you'll see, again, you know, I upgraded him in the column this week. I think Terrence West could potentially be played as well in a flex if, you know, if you're really in a need. Cleveland probably throws it a bit more than they have been once Josh Gordon's back in action this week. But Atlanta is, you know, still tied for dead last in the NFL in rushing touchdowns allowed. Cleveland runs it a lot, particularly in close. And Crowell leads them in rushing touchdowns with 5, and he was the featured guy last week. A little bit more of an explosive runner than West, so I think he gets a bigger workload and has a nice game.
This comes from Chris in Kearney. He goes, Dan Heron, what's he going to do? Better than McKinnon in a flex standard?
Oh, definitely not better than McKinnon. But at the same time, you'll want to keep an eye on McKinnon's health. He's been limited in practice this week. You know, they did bring in Tate, but no question, you know, there's a big question as far as whether or not he'll be even active, let alone, you know, seeing the field, being that he's just joined the team. Heron's going to touch the ball. You know, he had some success at Ohio State, but it's hard to say how much. They might ride Trent Richardson and see what they have with him. And, you know, at this point, Heron is just a kind of a guy, a speculative add to your bench if it's a deep league. McKinnon is still the starter in Minnesota.
Standard flex league, or standard league flex, who would you play? Denard Robinson, Reggie Wayne, Larry Fitzgerald, Kendall Wright.
Oh, that's a really easy question. It's Robinson, hands down. You know, Indy just got hammered by Jonas Gray. Now you don't expect that to happen. Robinson's a very different runner, but he's been averaging over 5 yards per carry in his last 4 games, nearly 400 rushing yards. You know, Reggie Wayne is a decent option, but they might not have to use him if Indy builds up a big lead. And those other receivers aren't even, you know, comparative to Robinson at this point. Fitzgerald is actually hurt and going into Seattle. So,
the injury situation here, including Julius Thomas, it sounds like he's going to be okay. Well, what can you tell us on guys that we need to really keep an eye on?
Right. Well, Thomas is one of them. The latest news is that he's, you know, day-to-day is what they're calling him, but, you know, that can mean a lot of different things. He left the game with an ankle injury last week, and he didn't come back. Usually, if he's not coming back, it means he, you know, there's a chance he could sit the following week. Haven't heard, you know, the degree to how bad that ankle sprain is, but at this point, just monitor him. He could be a game time decision. I mean, with the tight end position being a little weakened, you know, Greg Olsen's on bye, Dwayne Allen's injured. You know, he could be a game time decision as well. You just want to make sure you have a backup ready.
Luke, you mentioned Jonas Gray, and again, this comes from the guy that's a day late and a dollar short. Are you telling guys like me to go get him if he's available right now, or was this a fluke one-game performance last week?
It's definitely not a fluke, and 100% if you can, go pick Jonas Gray up. You know, put him on your bench at the bare minimum. You know, he's a talented runner. You know, I can speak as a Notre Dame guy, and I watched Jonas play when he was with Notre Dame his senior year. You know, throughout that year, he looked like he was probably a third-round pick in the NFL draft, had a eight-game touchdown streak where he had 12 total in, you know, 8 games before tearing his ACL at the end of his senior year. So it was really just the injury that kept him out of that draft. I think he would have been a relatively high pick, could already be a starter in this league right now. You know, of course, you question, what does Bill Belichick do? They just signed LeGarrette Blount, who's a similar type of runner, an even bigger battering ram, you know, for that offense to run behind that big line. But Gray's going to get the football again. He's going to be potentially the goal line back going forward. It's not a great matchup for him this week against Detroit, So there's a chance you have some better options and you could sit him. But at the same time, the way New England's moving the football, he's always going to have opportunities to score when they get in close. He's a guy you might have to play a couple times the rest of the year. And, you know, if he can even come, you know, repeat half of what he did this last week, and he starts to become an every week starter.
Doug and Daddy Show last minute here with Luke Hoover from RotoWire at Bandits in Grand Island. We're watching SportsCenter show over and over and over the feet, 5 feet of snow that they have in Buffalo. Luke, you shouldn't have to worry about a lot of guys on your team for the Bills and the Jets because there are no superstars on either one of those teams that we talk about. But what if the game is postponed? What if it's moved? How does that affect fantasy leagues? And what's your recommendation? Would you just say stay clear of anybody in that game?
That is what I would probably do personally. The only guys that I could even see as starting options in that contest, if it were, you know, played Sunday, the weather conditions were fine, would be, you know, Sammy Watkins, who tore through the Jets secondary in the first time they played him. Maybe Kyle Orton, if you're really hurting at quarterback, you know, just because of how many scores that Jets D has given up. You know, he kind of owned them their last time out. Chris Ivory is a consideration, you know, especially as you get into the colder weather. Jets are probably going to run it pretty heavily. And he did find the end zone twice against Buffalo in their first meeting, and Buffalo has now started to soften against the run. You saw Lamar Miller, you know, have some nice yards for carry against him in their last game. So those are probably the only real options. Maybe Percy Harvin or Eric Decker in a real deep league. But outside of those guys, you're probably sitting everybody else. If it is a postponed game and they're playing it, you know, on Monday or Tuesday or something like that, you may probably just want to bench all those guys and roll out what you have. What I would say, though, is I have them in one league, but I'm sticking with the Buffalo defense whenever they play that game. I'd like to see how Mike Vick does in the cold weather, you know, against that pass rush.
I've got Carpenter in as a starting kicker this weekend or whenever they play this game.
They'll warm up.
When it rains, it pours.
They'll keep them all warmed up for you, Steve-O. last minute here, so let's do the studs and duds. Who you got for us this week, Luke?
Well, this week, you know, I'm going to go with a guy who's defending himself recently in the media, and I think LeSean McCoy has a really big game Sunday. The Titans' D has just been absolutely gashed on the ground lately. The last three number one rushers they've faced have piled up over 460 yards and five touchdowns. So the three of the best in football right now, Le'Veon Bell, you know, just killed him on Monday night, Justin Forsett and Arian Foster. But, you know, at the same time, McCoy's still a skilled runner. That offense is going to move the football. I think he has a nice day. You know, my dad is a guy who's actually been really hot as a running back, Mark Ingram. They're feeding him so heavily, you're starting to see he's wearing down a little bit. 30 touches minimum in the last three games. So that's a huge, huge workload for any running back. And, you know, unfortunately, Mark Ingram isn't DeMarco Murray. They don't have that same offensive line in New Orleans. The pass offense isn't helping him any either. And Baltimore happens to be the number one fantasy defense against running backs. So I think Ingram really has a down game, probably a guy you might want to consider sitting on Monday night.
And Ryan has slid in a question here. He says, I need two in a standard league. Vincent Jackson, Josh Gordon, Reggie Wayne, Cecil Shorts.
But Josh Gordon I would not bench in any league. You know, when Brian Hoyer and he hooked up for the first time last year, it was Gordon's first game back from suspension. Granted, it was 2 weeks, not 10. I think he's got more rust, but he had 150 yards almost in that game. You know, 19 targets. You can't expect that with a good ground game, but he's going to be productive. And then I would have to play Vincent Jackson against the Bears. I think McCown throws it really well on his old team. You know, Jackson has taken a back seat to Mike Evans, but I like what he can do, and he's still going to see some targets.
All right, Luke, Raiders and Chiefs tonight. Ugly Thursday night football, but we'll get after it. And, of course, because it's Thanksgiving, Luke will join us Wednesday as part of our Jam Pack Wednesday show. To get you ready for Thanksgiving football. So, Luke, as always, thanks for the advice, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys. Sounds good.
That's Luke Hoover, RotoWire, RotoWire.com. Our Doug and Daddy Cunningham's Journal Fantasy Football Challenge is new every week. You can get signed up. It's free, a $25 gift card to our weekly winner. And all the weekly winners are entered for the Super Bowl party at the end of the year. Just go to the ESPNSuperstation.com, click on the Doug and Daddy Fantasy Football banner, and get set to go today. today. We're glad to have you along with us. A couple of other sports notes that we're going to get to. UNK volleyball underway, as we talked with Coach Squires at the top of the hour. Steve Anderson with another comment for us before we get on out of here. And, folks, we remind you we are here at Bandits, where lots of things are going on in Grand Island. Chicken nachos with a soda, $5.99 for lunch today, or get anything off the menu that you want. Chicken wings, bone in, bone out, the Saks pizza, the sub sandwiches, the salads. I really like the chef salad that they have here as well. Doesn't matter what you want, they've got something good for you, and it's quick and easy here at Bandits, the Evan Scott Trio. Tonight, there's no cover. The band starts at 9 o'clock for wing night, and, of course, they're giving away money. It doesn't matter if it's Keno or Bank Shot. They're giving away thousands and thousands of dollars. They just gave away $13,000-plus last night here at Bandits. You can find it easily. Just follow the money trail, because it's leaving here. It's all there for you. We'll be back and wrap things up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Funner Park.
Make it lunch today at Funner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. How about a zesty bacon cheeseburger with sweet barbecue sauce topped off with Tangler onion rings and fries on the side? Definitely today's great destination for just $7.99. Full bar service, and you can play Keno and wager on Nationwide Racing continuous tonight racing from Remington. So race to the finish line. Number one for food and fun.
Goodwill is dedicated to helping people with disabilities or barriers achieve their goals and improve their quality of life.
Your gift to Goodwill has a great impact.
Through the work of Goodwill, people have the opportunity to achieve their greatest potential.
Goodwill helps me achieve my goals and my dreams.
People receiving services get the support they need to live, work, learn, and participate fully in the community.
With a friendly, helpful, no-pressure sales staff, I can't think of another reason you'd need to buy your next car from Crossroads Ford. So, here's 1,000 reasons. With every car you buy, you'll be entered to win a drawing of a $1,000 gift card from Cabela's. New or used, car, truck, or SUV, regardless of make or model. Purchase a car at Crossroads Ford and you'll have a chance to win a $1,000 gift card from Cabela's. Hurry, you must buy before the end of business December 18th. Small enough to know you, big enough to help. Crossroads Ford in Kearney.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling along, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Dudas, Steve Anderson with you on this Thursday, reminding you that if you're in Kearney, the only place to be is the Chicken Coop to watch your favorite sporting events. And on Thursdays, appetizers from 2 to midnight are specially priced. Some are half priced, some are better. I love the porky style potato skins. If you don't want the pork on it, you can just get the regular style potato skins, $3.99 and $4.99. $3.99 appetizers, nachos, buffalo chips, Southwest munchers, which are outstanding. It is every Thursday from 2 until midnight. Of course, there's special prices every other day from 2 to 5:30 during their afternoon happy hour. And the Thursday lunch special, which is served from 11 to 4 at the Chicken Coop in Kearney, is the Po' Boy Shrimp Sandwich with your choice of side, only $6.49. In Kearney, on the bricks, the Chicken Coop. They invite you to come in and see them 7 days a week, the original sports bar and grill, because you are hungry 7 days a week. I just didn't know what you're not supposed to do, right, Steve? I ummed it. Your thoughts? I know you're worried about Nebraska on Saturday.
I am. This game opened at 13.5 points. Nebraska favored. They bet it down to 10. Sometimes I guess that's not a bad sign, because I really admire and I put a lot of faith in those guys they put in the rubber rooms out in Vegas that come up with these lines. They're not stupid. And the original line, I've always felt, is the true line. And where those Wildcat guys move it to is not necessarily smart money as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, you know, this is a real character test on behalf of the Cornhuskers, and we'll be watching this game very, very closely coming up Saturday, because if they come out and play anything like that Wisconsin game, man, I admire you for already making a commitment to go into Iowa City. That's to see the Iowa game the following week. That's a long enough drive the way it is. Fortunately for you young bucks, they don't play that game on Thanksgiving Thursday anymore, because we had a lot of ruined Thanksgivings over the years. We had to watch the Oklahoma-Nebraska game year in and year out, and until that great game in 1973, it seemed like we lost every time. And those are the memories I have when I start talking to my kids and now my grandkids about the early days of the miserable Thanksgivings I was raised and experienced in my childhood. I've been carrying that albatross along even to this day.
Oh, man, I'm sorry that you hate Thanksgiving, Steve. I'm sorry. I want to get to a couple other notes here. Amir Abdullah, as we said yesterday, one of the semifinalists for the second straight year for the Doak Walker Award, given to the nation's top running back. This morning, one of five finalists, as expected, because he was honored four different weeks this year by the Paul Horning Award. So there's five finalists, and I think he's got a really good chance here. It goes to the most versatile player in major college football, since he returns kicks and is on special teams. That is what, besides being a running back, obviously one of the great reasons he's there. Is Roger Craig one of the most overlooked Huskers slash now pro players? In fact, I had to send out a little text yesterday as I was reading the Journal Star, reading the World Herald, reading Husker Online, going over a variety of things after our Husker lunch yesterday. Here's this big headline: former Husker Will Shields, semifinalist for, you know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And then they listed all the other players, and among the other players was Roger Craig. And I said, did you forget Roger Craig was a Husker? Roger Craig needs to be in the Hall of Fame, and he keeps getting passed over, and he's going to get passed over again this year.
That's unbelievable.
I think Will Shields gets in before he does.
And
it's too bad. I mean, he's the first 1,000 back in NFL history. The firsts are usually the first to get in.
Was he not the most complete back that we didn't even realize till he became a San Francisco 49er?
Yeah.
That could both run and pass. We didn't pass the running backs back in those days.
One of the best high steppers ever.
Oh, and the guy was a workout deluxe. This guy was chiseled in stone.
Yeah.
Prided his workout regimen. I've read a countless number of things about Roger Craig. I did a lot of interviews with Curtis Craig, actually, who came along. These were Iowa boys back in the 70s, early 80s, and he had a lot of talent. Roger Craig not in the Hall of Fame. That's incredible.
A couple other notes. Nebraska volleyball sweeping Indiana last night, their seventh straight win. Their home regular season finale, because you expect them to get a regional, is Michigan Saturday night, 7 at the Devaney Center. Then they play basketball in the Devaney Center Saturday afternoon. The women at 1 o'clock will be in action against Utah. Tie game at the half last night. Nebraska ends up winning at 82-61. All five starters are in double figures. For Washington State on their home court last night, they were 2 of 27 from three-point land, including 0 of 15 in the second half. And there is no truth to the rumor that they were all wearing Kobe Bryant headbands. Hastings College, boy, Mike Will had a couple of heart stoppers last night. The men squeaked by Doan, 63-62. Tobin Reinwald, the GPAC Men's Player of the Week, had the game-winning free throws. And the Hastings women were upset by Doan, 89-81 in overtime. They had an 8-point lead with about 3.5 to go. Couldn't quite finish that one off. And so that's what's going on in the world of sports. And it was a fun one for Creighton last night, down by 18 to Oklahoma. They come back and get the win. And that's a resume builder right there.
I let my wife, Monday through Friday, have control of the clicker or the remote, okay? I get a ton of sports, mostly football this time of year, and on Saturday and Sunday, and she's a good sport and adheres to anything that I want to watch or listen to. But on Monday, I hand the clicker over. I've learned from failed experiences in relationships past that there are some right and wrong things to do. At any rate, before that clicker got active last night to watch Law & Order at 8 p.m. on another family-friendly station, I was tuned into that Oklahoma-Creighton game, and they were up by 18. I didn't feel the least bit guilty about moving over and conforming to what my wife wanted to watch. You don't think I was surprised when I opened up the paper this morning and see they came back and won by two? My, how things have changed.
Good win, good win, good win. Well, we are over our time here, and it seems to me like I had one more thing I wanted to hit, but that's going to wrap it up. Tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, we have got a Cunningham's Cash Vault and Pigskin Pick'em that is as big as it has been in a couple of years. Will anybody be able to take down Jim Langan and myself? I don't know if it's possible anymore. We're looking to finish it off. $60 in cash. Cunningham's Cash ready to go if you can beat us. Plus, Big Daddy's Deli, just for getting the question right. We'll have Fanatics Trivia tomorrow. We will have some great guests. Jimmy Langan will have his picks. We'll have more Husker talk and unbelievably get you ready for a basketball season locally. We've got that 1 week in here. We've got state football, no Doug and Daddy show. There's only one Doug and Daddy show next week because we've got state football, all six games, Monday and Tuesday, our Husker lunch Wednesday, Thanksgiving, and then, of course, it's football Friday with the Huskers and Iowa. Steve, it is always a pleasure, and I'll see you when the calendar turns to December.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to it. Happy holiday season as we kick things off at Thanksgiving next week. Enjoy your family. We put together, we attended a military funeral yesterday in closing, Doug, that I just want to throw out here how fortunate I am to still have an 86-year-old father who's in terrific health. And he's going to have an enjoyable Thanksgiving. My sister is going to take over the duty as we go up to Bolas and try to salvage some health issues there and prepare the Thanksgiving meal. But Kenny Brandt, First Sergeant Kenny Brandt, that run the National Guard Armory here for years and years, was called up to active duty for Desert Storm, was a Korean vet, also was a major player in the hero flights that have evolved out of Grand Island for the last few years. Tragically passed away, but at the ripe old age of 84 last weekend. And I got a chance to spend a little time with most of his family over the last couple of days. There's never a good time when you have to experience this kind of a loss. I've lived and gone through that. It stays with you forever. But enjoy the family. I failed in a lot of things over the years that I've tried to correct, and you get that with experience. But I hope everyone doesn't have a Thanksgiving Thursday like I remember when I was a kid. And tell them you love them, your family, whoever, however many you have, and spend as much time as you can because our precious time on this earth is limited.
Yeah, we're so busy until we realize. Good words. And Steve, thanks so much. Also want to say thanks to Tracy Clay's associate head football coach at Minnesota for joining us today. Luke Hoover of RotoWire to answer all your fantasy football questions. UNK volleyball coach Rick Squires. The Lopers scored the first 3 points. Southwest Minnesota State scored the next six. And it's now 18-13 Southwest Minnesota in the first set of the NCAA National Tournament. Tomorrow, we've already run down the schedule. Jim Langan will join me. We hope that you have an outstanding Thursday, everyone. We're keeping busy. We hope you are as well. Enjoy it, and come on out to Bandits anytime. Tonight, the Evan Scott Trio starts at 9. Special Bud Specials tonight. The Husker game Saturday. Smoked pork loin sandwich for the Husker game. Play some Keno. Enjoy your favorite beverages. Happy hour every afternoon from 4 until 6 with $2 domestics, $2 pints, and $2.50 mugs. This is Doug Duda saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.